episode 38. Get out of here, Satan. What up, everybody? Got Sabrina back in the building.
Yes, sir.
She snapped so hard the first time, had to bring her back. She part of the family
run
now.
Run it up.
It's lit. It's going to be a good one. But before we get started, let's just go ahead and start off with some prayer. Welcome the spirit in and get flowing. Dear God, we thank you for this time, God. And we just ask that you would take control of this time, God, that you would speak through us, God, that we would be vessels to your almighty glory, God, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just pour out from heaven straight down onto this earth, God. Reach down from heaven into the hearts of those listening, the ears and the minds, body and souls, God. And Lord, just we ask that thy will be done, God, that this would be as much of a blessing to you as it is to us, God. Just be with us in this time, lead us in this time, God, and speak through us in this time. In your almighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so today's topic is the goodness of God. And, you know, for a lot of people, you ask them, or you, not even if you ask them, if you just anywhere with people you say God is good, there should be a bunch of people that are like, all the time? I don't know if that's what, you know what I'm saying?
Y'all yeah, experience I do. That? I do, yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I'm talking about?
That's and
what
then, we and said. Then you say all the time?
God is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen to that.
Yeah.
But that's crazy because, like, that started for me in high school in football. You know what I'm saying? And none of us were very godly. The coaches would make us do the Lord's Prayer after every practice. And they for sure weren't on no God stuff, bro. They were some crazy dudes. I loved them and have forgiven them through Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? But
forgiving them, what would they do to you?
That's another episode. No, we don't even need an episode about that. But, yeah, it's just crazy, you know what I'm saying? That has always stuck with me. And now it's to the point where it's, like, anytime, like, I'll tell someone about something cool or something that is clearly of God, I'll be like, man, God's just so good. And they'll just be, like, all the time. And it's cool to see that, you know, even for the people that may not be that close to God or may, you know, acknowledge his existence and his authority and power, but they may be missing that piece of actually seeking him, you know? So it's so powerful to know that God has impressed upon our hearts the knowledge that he is good, you know? But it's up to us to remember that all the time, you know, all the time God is good. Because sometimes we get caught up in our struggles or our trials and, you know, in the hard times of life, and we seem to forget that God is good. And we let the circumstances we're in base where our faith lies in Jesus, you know? It's like when things are really good, it's easy to praise him, right? God is good when things are good, but what about when things aren't good? Where is God in your life, you know? So I think it's going to be a cool topic to, you know, get into and to kind of expand on the true fact that God is good, and he's simply good all the time, you know? God's goodness isn't based on our lives or our situations, God. You know what I mean? God is God. And his love just pours out constantly, you know? His plan is perfect, and even when we don't understand it or we can't really comprehend what's going on, like, that doesn't mean God's not good. That just means he's working in a way that's greater than our understanding, you know? Like, the mystery of God, it says, is going to be revealed to us at the end of times, in the time of judgment. You know what I'm saying? That's when we're going to get up to heaven. We're going to see him face to face. We're going to see Jesus sitting at his right hand, and we're going to see all these just angels and all these beautiful colors and all this stuff going on that we would have never been able to understand on this earth. But in his time, he's going to reveal it to us, you know. And it also just reminds me of, you know, the verse me and Chris were just talking about in our time of prayer, the what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed to us later, you know? And so we got to hold tight to that, because when we're suffering, you know, we got to remember that his glory will be revealed, but in his time. And when Sabrina and Chris, you know, brought up this topic, at first I was like, what is something I can really talk about? You know, what is something that is really deep in my heart that, like, I have seen the goodness of God in? And Chris called me out last week, if you were listening, because I said, you know, one of the best days of my life was baptizing Chris. And he was like, dude, what about your baby?
Yeah, I was
like, hey, dude, yo.
I was sorry, dude.
You just made me look like a horrible dad, bro. Yeah.
And Colette snapped about it.
And my wife and then was hot, bro.
Bro, when you were explaining it to her, like, you were trying to give her, like, fuzzy details. I was like, nah, he didn't say that. And I said the exact thing.
Expose me, bro.
You were like, oh.
But then I thought, I was like, you know what? No, he's right. Like, the birth of my daughter was the true example of God's goodness, right? Because, I mean, some people listening know me and my wife's story, you know. My daughter was born out of wedlock. You know, we weren't married when she was born. Or when she was born, we were married. You know, we did the little gotcha courthouse. It was beautiful. It was lit. But it wasn't for that reason. And we're going to get deeper into it, right? It wasn't to try to cover up any, you know, sin that I didn't want to bring to light. It was simply because me and Colette hadn't been honoring God and truly, full-heartedly in our relationship, you know, because we were having sex before marriage, you know, and his word says that sex before marriage is not of God, you know. Sex was made for man and wife, you know. And so it just showed me his goodness, because even in our sin, he brought life, you know. And that is his power today. It's like every day we are sinful. We are self-seeking. We're selfish. You know, we're always trying to do what's good for us, and we kind of forget about God and his grand scheme of things, you know what I mean? But through this story, you know, it's like, Me and my wife, we love God, and we did love God, and we still do, and we forever will, right? Until we meet him, and then it's just going to be super lit. But we still, as humans do, had our struggles with sin, you know? And we tried to justify, we tried to say, oh, but we are going to get married, it's okay, you know? And then it got to a point where it was like, okay, this can't happen anymore, because we're really not glorifying God with our relationship. And then, boom, she's pregnant, right? And so then it's like, dang, and what did I do? First thing I did was go to the pastor, because, you know, it was a scary time. It was like, dang, bro, like, you know, we got this podcast, you know, I serve at the church, I got all this stuff going on, and then I'm in the dark, you know, doing this, right, about to have a baby. And, you know, that's when I feel like the lies of the devil and the enemy and kind of the judgment of this world came into my head and was like, dude, are you really even for God, you know what I'm saying? And so it was a period of trying to figure out, you know, what is the best way to move about in this situation that's going to bring glory to his name. And the pastor said, you know, I believe in my heart that this story is going to bring hope to others. And so that is my goal with this story, is that, you know, God doesn't care where you are at, you know, he cares about where you will be, and he wants you to be with him. You know, he doesn't define you by your mistakes or your past, and his goodness, he covers us, right? Where we're bad, he's always good. Where we're messing up in the dark, you know, he's bringing light. And so he brought light to a situation, right? And here I am. And now it's so beautiful, because we have this beautiful baby girl, and we have stepped into the covenant of marriage. And now it's like we're glorifying God with our story, you know, because it wasn't just a act of desperation that we went and got married. It was the guidance, you know, that we received from our pastors and our community that said, okay, you've been not honoring God in this situation, so what can you do to now honor God? You know, how can you make a change to bring glory to the kingdom of heaven? And so that's what we did, right? We went and got married, you know, and we sought counsel. You know, we had accountability. We had people in our corner who were walking with us through this journey. And then, boom, here comes this beautiful baby girl. She came 3 months early, so she's premature. She's here right now, you know. And even in this situation, God is showing his power and his goodness, because, you know, it's a stressful time. When we went to the hospital and they told us she was going to be born, like, today, you know what I'm saying, it was scary, because in my head I'm like, no, it's too early. This can't be good. This can't be safe. This can't be right. God, what is going on? I didn't want to be fearful. I wanted to be faithful, right? But that fear was still trying to find a way to come out, right? And my constant prayer was just, thy will be done. Like, God, you know what you're doing. It doesn't help for me to be doubting or to be fearful. You know, it helps for me to be faithful, to be in prayer, to be in your word, to be comforting to my wife, you know, to be doing whatever I can to make sure that this thing goes smoothly. And really, I was at a place of no power. I had no control in that situation, right? But God put us in an environment of, you know, St. Joseph Women's Hospital. And sure enough, that is a God-fearing hospital. You know, it's built on it's a Catholic hospital, right? So the people there, they're praying, they're believing. So many nurses and doctors are telling us, you know, we're praying for your little girl. We're praying for your wife. We're praying for you guys. You know, we're believing that she's going to be a miracle baby, that she's going to be strong. And you know, this may seem scary to us, but God's got a plan, you know, and God just found all these ways to just speak to me in a time where it would have been real easy to give up, right? It would have been real easy to be like, there's no way. It would have been real easy to lose hope, to lose faith, right? But sure enough, here she comes, and she's here and she's healthy and she's growing every single day. And even today, it's an everyday struggle, you know, going to see her in the hospital and she's in the little tank in the little incubator. And it's like, it sucks, honestly, you know, it's sad. But at the same time, it is so beautiful because I see God working in her. You know what I mean? I see God bringing strength to her. I see God working in these doctors and nurses. I see the nurse who said, I pray for all my babies before I come to work. I pray for them when I get there. I pray for them while I'm working with them. I'm praying out loud while I'm, you know, changing their diaper or when I'm fixing their feeding tube or their breathing tube, you know. So,
that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's lit, bro. It's literally, it's divine intervention, yeah. You know. It's literally all God, and I have to give him all glory because there's nothing I could do to make this situation any better, but he has covered it, you know. And so that brings me the peace today to continue seeking him, to keep faith and to keep hope. And now I know, you know, being in this situation, it's not just about me being in this situation. It's about I'm going to come across somebody, you know, who's going to be in this situation. And then I'm now going to have the tools that God has given me to help them be strong in a time when it's easy to be weak, you know. And through that, we're going to be able to encourage each other. We're going to be able to sharpen each other. And it's just so beautiful to see, you know. It's like every day that I show up at that hospital and I've got a smile on my face and I'm reading the Bible to her and I'm praying with her, you know, the parents across the room who could be scared as hell. They could be scared out of their mind because their little baby's in this tank and they don't know what's going on with her or him or whatever. But they see, you know, me and my wife standing there hand in hand, reading the word of God, praying over her. You know, they see our guest, you know, Chris coming to see her and praying over her. My mom coming to pray over her, my dad, her grand, you know what I'm saying? All this stuff, right? It's an example of what happens when we accept the goodness of God, you know, and it becomes so much bigger than us, you know, because sometimes we get so caught up in us, we forget what God's doing, you know. It's his plan, not our plan. It's his understanding, not our understanding. And, you know, that's what gives me peace today, because if I was leaning all on my own understanding or my plan, this was not at all how I thought it would go, and this is not at all how I would have planned it out. But today, because of my relationship with Christ, I see the beauty in it, right? And I get to walk in confidence knowing that the Holy Spirit is covering this time, the Holy Spirit is with us, the Holy Spirit is with my sweet little daughter, you know, and even just her name, you know, River Talitha Woolover. Her first name, River, comes from Psalm 46, and it's verse 4 to 5, and it says, there is a city that flows through the most high city of God. That river is pleasing to God, and God is within her. She will not fall, right? And then her middle name, Talitha, comes from Mark chapter 5, and it's when Jesus was in the town, right? And one of the priests in the town, his daughter was dead, according to the people, right? To her parents and the townspeople, and they're freaking out, and they're telling Jesus, they're saying, hey, can you come comfort the priest? His daughter is dead. His daughter, you know what I'm saying? She's not moving. What's going on? He's like, hey, it's okay. Be calm. She's just sleeping. She's okay. So he goes into the house, and what does he do? He brings his apostles, right? He brings the parents, and he goes in there. He says, Talitha kum, which means get up, little girl. He brought life to that little girl. She got up, started walking around, and he said, hey, I got you. This is it. This is what I'm here for. And so even just having picked out that name before, you know, before we even knew, we had no idea she would come premature. You know, that was just God's plan, right? But seeing that name and seeing those stories and the testimony of those people, right, it brings so much peace knowing that this is God's good and perfect plan, right? Because her name is literally her story, right? Her name is River, and she is so pleasing to God, just her presence, her life, right? And then her middle name, she could easily be dead right now. She could have never made it out of her mom's womb, right? But God said, come on, you're coming to this world right now. And then through her story, you know, she's going to walk and she's going to glorify God. But it's up to me and my wife to instill those principles in her, right? To pray the Holy Spirit over her, to speak the name of Jesus to her so that when it's her time, she can spread that light to other people, right? And if that isn't God's goodness, and I don't know what it is, you know, because that story could have gone a lot worse, you know? But it didn't. All glory to God. And so that's just God's goodness to me.
That is beautiful, dude. Like, I'm just shook. And I'm very proud of you as a father already for this short time. Because that kind of strength, that kind of faith, you know, that's all we need. We don't need to know how to do all the little things that, you know, you got to do when you have a kid yet. With that, you'll be fine. Like, everything will be great. I I mean, dude, that was a lot, but that was so, like, awesome all at the same time. I know one thing I was thinking, actually, was, like, I listened to last week's episode, and when you guys were, you know, going through that, I was, like, I'm driving, and I'm, like, oof. Like,
she already knew, bro.
I was, like, oof.
Imagine how Colette felt. No, she was, like,
no,
hey,
no,
yo.
No, no, but, yeah, I mean, trust me, all of it, I agree with all sides, but I kind of also understand. I also kind of understand your point of view, though, because, like, even in my understanding, like, I mean, I should say through my own experience, I mean, you know, I had to push my daughter out, so I'm not the dad. But I can't necessarily say that was the best day because I went through a lot of pain, you know? And, like, even when I saw her for the first time, I was still going through pain with doctors and all kinds of other stuff going on around me, not to get too gruesome. So, like, we're, like, I still was trying to scream, but I wasn't trying to scream in front of my daughter's face the first time seeing her, you know? So, you know, it's, like, you think, oh, like, well, everyone's experience is different because I know for my man, his, like, I watched his whole, like, it was the most beautiful thing ever. Like, he was just so, like, captivated and in love with her, and I'm over here, like...
Bro, dude would be, they would, I don't know if we'd ever have kids, bro. The population would be done. Yeah.
No, but, so I understand, you know, like, but at the same time, it's like now knowing my daughter and now enjoying her and seeing her and see how God has just made her the most perfect thing ever, I can say, yeah, that's the best day of my life because that was the first day I got to meet her. Mm. And the first time you get to witness her soul because you feel it, bro. Like, my man says all the time, too, like, I saw it from the first second I saw her, I felt her soul, and she is just the most beautiful thing, you know? And I know you feel the same way with your daughter. Yeah. And I think that's where it's, like, maybe it goes in there to being, like, oh, that was the best day of my life because you have, like, you got to meet this beautiful person the first day that they walked into this world, you know? Like, the second that God put their soul in that body. So I think that's that whole thing is beautiful, like, your whole story. Like, I don't even think I could say anything about it because that you just completely, if anything, you know, I like the way how you mentioned her name, you know, and that shit, excuse me, that.
Dude, bleep.
That experience in itself of, like, you know, she's living out her name. Mm-hmm. She is, like, fulfilling the calling that you guys already gave her just through her name. And yeah, you know, it's I'm sure it's a lot. I mean, the day you have a baby, like, so much happens in that day, and it's all, like stressful, to be honest, with between all the questions, between all the emotions, all the feelings, all the everything going on. You're like, holy cow, my whole life is, like, different now. You have all these new responsibilities, you know. So, but all those, like, trials, it only makes strength. So it's like you have even more faith going through all that. And that's part of the goodness of God, because he's, like, struggles are inevitable. Trials are inevitable. But the good thing is, you know, you'd go through these things to get, like, stronger, you know. And that's where faith is another, like, superpower, because, like, as long as you have faith on your side, like, no struggle can be too great, you know. Because you know you have faith that God is good and that he gets you out of this and that all this is happening for a reason, you know?
No, for real. It brings purpose, you know, to a situation that could be dark. You know, God moves in your heart in a way to you see, you know what I'm saying? You see how he's trying to grow you and stretch you, you know? Because it's just his plan. It's perfect, you know what I mean? It's purpose. Yeah. It's fire.
This is not way off topic, bro, but have you ever seen the... Like, they got, like, this machine, they put it on dudes, and then it, like, is supposed to simulate, like, pregnancy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, bro. And they're just, like, they can't even take it, because it goes, like, it's, like, levels, and they just keep leveling it up.
These little machines are only for the once-a-month experience that we get our whole life.
Oh,
so, yeah. I mean, I'm sure they have different ones, though. But I don't think... I don't think anything. No.
Yeah, but I'm saying they couldn't even take that.
It was probably made by a man, too. How dare you bring that up, Chris?
No.
You will never understand the pain that they go through.
Bro, but that was what I'm trying to say is, like...
No.
That's good, bro. No, because I'm just saying, like, bro, like, I don't know, bro. There's, like, a stupid idea, I feel like, in a lot of men's head, but it's like... Women low-key are a lot stronger than men are.
No, high key, like, bro. High key. Way stronger, bro. We're going to get one of those machines and we're going to put it on Chris for a whole episode.
Actually, that'd be really cool. That'd be he's going to try and speak and he's just like,
oh, help me.
That's funny, dude.
Yeah, bro.
All right. Thanks, see, it's Chris. Good. It's good having a woman come on because then we can see that perspective because we would have no idea.
Thank you, Sabrina.
But anyway, what I was going to say, like, yeah, craziness. What I was going to say is, like, one of the beautiful gifts that we have from God, right? So it's this psalm that I read, like, all the time. But it makes me think of Wally's situation a little bit and, but kind of, like, the grace also that we've been given. And, I don't know, I'll read it first and then I'll go into kind of the big point that I want to give. But it's talking about the sin that we have as people, and it's David, and he's praying about God having mercy on him and forgiving him for these things, and even talks about the sins of our parents, right? And this is what it says. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and I know my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Right? And so it says, right, I was conceived in sin, right? Which I don't know that he necessarily means exactly like how Wally's situation went through, right? But he's just saying, right, that it's like we're sinful individuals, right? We're always going to sin. We've sinned from... right, the beginning of man. You can trace it all the way back in the scripture, right? All the way back to Adam, all the way up until today. And then when we pass on, and who knows how long the earth will be here until the end of the world, but if it's thousands of years, right, like, there will still be sin, right, in this world, right? And so the big takeaway that God's been trying to reveal to me recently and that I've really been taking away is, like, it really isn't. Everything's just going to lead back to God, right? And that there is a point to every negative action that we take, right, everything that we struggle with, and that it's not all for nothing, and that something that's horrible and evil, because God is good, right, he turns. It's my favorite verse, and it's the way that I've always interpreted it now. It's the way that God has revealed it to me, is that, right, like, the darkness can't outshine, like, it can't beat the light, right? The light is always going to win. And how I really see that is, like, we are evil creatures, right? Something that... this is going to sound crazy. I know he's going to snap on me about this. But it's really true, is that we're closer to Hitler than we are to Jesus. Right?
How'd you say that, bro?
Hey. Dude, you want to hear what's funny? So when I was told that, it was me, Nisu, and Raheem, who was here last week. And Nisu was telling us, like, because I was struggling with, like, my own sin. And he said, all of us are closer to Hitler than we are to Jesus. And some random dude walked up while we were talking, bro. There was no one in this whole building. And he goes, the statement that he walked into was, yeah, we're all little Hitlers. And then the kid said, hey, yo. And he goes, you're a little Hitler, too. And then the kid left. The kid just walked away, dude. Yeah. No, but that's like the reason that statement, I think the reason I repeated it is because of the extreme of it, right? Like, that is the fullest extreme, and it's 100% true. And really what I can get into is, like, what is God going to do to the demons, right? He's going to destroy them. And why is that? It's because they revolted against God, right? But for some reason, right, we're evil, maybe not in the same sense as a demon, right? We're not evil in that same sense, but we are evil. We're evil in the sight of God, right? But for some reason, right, he's not going to do that to us. He's not going to cast us out because of the cross, because of what Jesus Christ did, right? And so it's like my sin, my evilness, God uses it for his good. He can show it to exalt his grace and his mercy, right? And so it's, I don't know, it's something that's just really been shown to me. And so it's not even just like, it's not even like the light, because really what you can interpret that as is that somebody who is evil, right, and you think about the light crushing the darkness, is just like God just banishing it, right? Like, just completely removing it. But that's not what happens. The evil's still there, but it's used for good, right? He's turning the dark into light, right? So, like, the evil is still there, but we're still going to do evil things. But because of how crazy is that thought? It's not just that he crushes it and fights it and defeats it and throws it out. It's like, even when I do sin, still it can be used for something so good, right? And there's so much literature written on that single idea, right? There's just that you can help somebody in such a way because of your evil. Somebody else who experiences that evil, we just listened to a podcast actually this past week by John Piper. I sent it to a friend of mine, and the Spurgeon, like one of the greatest preachers of all time, like when you really start to research past preachers and all this stuff, struggled immensely with depression. And he shares a story where a man came up to him who was deeply depressed. And Spurgeon, he says the only reason, there's no way I'm pronouncing that right.
Spurgeon.
He says the only reason that he was able to help this person is because he was able to relate to this person in such a way where the depressed individual coming up to him knew that Spurgeon was
like surgeon or the P. Spurgeon,
whatever. But he was saying like the only way this person was able to, because he could explain if Spurgeon wasn't a depressed individual, right, this person would just look at him and say, you're different from me, would separate himself. And then all of the beauty that he could have been poured into him would have been instantly cut off, right? But because he had actually experienced it and can put it into words that this person that he was talking to could understand it, because of the evil in his life, because of the darkness, he was able to use that for so much good, right? All of the good that he said, all the glory that he just gave to God after he says, hey, I'm depressed too, right? This person's like, he actually understands me completely. He's dealing with evil human sin as well. Yet he gives all this glory to God. God must be good, right? And so, and that's a lot of what his story is. And just because, which I tell you, do you want to say something real quick?
I mean, if you're almost finished.
Real close, yeah.
Go ahead.
So, River, right? We're all basically conceived in sin. That's the idea, actually, of that psalm, is that we're all evil, so we're all conceived out of sin. That's the grace, right? But conceived out of sin, right? River's conceived out of sin. And it's not just that sin, bro. We got so much sin, you know. Nobody can... Do not judge Wally, right? Like, you can't judge the person. Especially look...
My daughter was born in sin, if that's...
Okay, so...
Under that understanding, too.
Right? And so, again, don't judge her. yeah. Right? But I just want to say that because, as a listener, it's like you can easily look at somebody else's sin and just be like... And then discount a lot of what we're about to say. But that's not at all what we should do as Christians, right? And what I'm going to say is, like, River's born, and it was nuts. So, like, he called me when I was at work, and I knew something was wrong because he calls me, like, bro, like, I go to bed at, like, 10 o'clock. He calls me at, like, 10 o'clock. I'm, like, laying in my bed going to sleep, and he calls me. But he called me at work and told me, dude. I had no idea what to say, dude. But just, like, as soon as we hung up, bro, I just started praying. Like, all I knew was, like, I just got to pray.
It was. You want to know what he said? Bro, that's not good.
I don't even remember. I had no idea. I was literally, bro, I was struck. I was like, I had no idea what to say. But literally, dude, like as soon as they even gave her the name, dude, just, like, every day I'm, like, praying. I'm praying for River. And I kept just saying, like, God, even if it's the end times and it's the last 144,000 people that are going to be saved, make her one of them, please. Aww. Right? And that would be like just this prayer I'm constantly doing. And then bam, I go and I meet her, dude. It was like I hadn't known her. It was like, I can't even explain the experience. Not even my kid, dude. I mean, it's like my brother right there, but
it's your niece.
It's my niece. Big crazy. I'll be that crazy guy smoking. What is it? Newport. Nah, but dude, and so like so much beauty, right? Like, and that's just because, you know, and I shared about it already, but I sent it to a group chat, like one of my Bible studies. I was like, hey, like when Colette went into premature labor, I was like, hey, y'all gotta pray for River. And literally in like 5 minutes, you want to know like how good God is, in 5 minutes I sent him a picture of it and the timestamp on it too. It was nuts. Like all these people just texted back like, oh, we're praying,
I shared it in my my group too. It was, I think it was the same thing. It was on a Thursday, so that same day I was like, hey, I have a friend who texted me and she's super premature, but they're having their baby today, so we need to add them in prayer. And
that's it fire.
Was, yeah, it really was. And it's funny, and I thought the same thing because I knew I was praying. I knew my man, anyone who I was speaking to, we were all like, oh my gosh, because, you know, we just went through having our baby, and to imagine having it early and all the stresses that we went through, but add on top all the ones that you might have, you know, coming to you. We all were praying, and I thought about it, but then on top of that, knowing who you have in your circle, you know, I was like, I felt it from where I was, you know, like, oh, baby River is so loved already. Like, she's so loved.
She's gassed up, bro. It's lit. No, it's lit.
I really like what you shared because I like how it piggybacked off him, because I remembered I was going to say something about that too. And it just lines up with a lot of things that I've been experiencing in my life recently. And so I would say, let me get to where I was going to reference with what he said. So my daughter was, you know, born out of wedlock. And, you know, personally, I didn't have any pressures with that. Maybe my mom, and referencing what my daughter's last name would have been. Mm-hmm. But I kind of like was like, are you kidding? Is that what you're stressing right now? Like, who cares? that's the least of my worries, you know? So for me personally, it's not something I was stressing because, you know, getting pregnant was in my hands, but at the same time, it was such a, like, it was just so evident that that was God working, mm-hmm. that it was like, why am I going to make myself feel guilty for something like this? And then on top of that, something that what you were saying made me think was like, you know, it's only God's plan to bring us closer to Him. Mm-hmm. You know, you only feel convicted of, oh, this was out of wedlock, so that you can only reach and seek Him closer.
Yeah.
You know, it's all so that you can seek Him closer. Mm. And I think that's a beautiful thing. But yeah, I mean, like, I feel like we could just sit here and talk about the journeys of our, yeah, just like the welcoming new life, you know, but I don't know. I almost don't even want to go through it. But at the end of the day, it's all God, dude, because, you know, my relationship we're not married, but I call him my husband because it's pretty much, you know.
Mm.
I believe, at least I believe that's how God sees us, you know? Mm-hmm. So, anyways, so our relationship, all that was just the goodness of God Himself, working so evidently in our lives. I don't know how deep I want to get into it, but I just know my man was struggling really hard at the time, at least earlier in the year with his sobriety.
Mm-hmm.
And it came super close where, you know, he's basically in God's face, like, hey, I think this is my way out. You know what I'm saying? But it wasn't, you know, the goodness of God kept him here. And it's so amazing, like, not even the word, but to describe how that pivotal moment of, like, what came right after his resurrection, you know, because right after that, you know, he's sober and in detox and rehab, you know, he basically just got so locked in with this new spiritual path that made it's like a muscle that he just exercised so hard that now it's like, space for a second, but now that, so his faith was just so strong, you know, so strong in that this is my new life. I've been gifted this and the opportunity is here now. So when I got pregnant, it was like almost like that sealed the deal, you know, like this new life is here. And on top of that, he was just in such a new stage in life. And me entering in there was more encouragement because I was right there on his side and going through similar things, definitely not to his extreme, but I wanted to experience the same change and support, you know what I'm saying? So it's like I'm changing my life now and I see how God talks to us in all these stages. I was coming out of a dark period in my life. That's very true. But it's like, I don't know, I would say the birth, or like at least me getting pregnant, it was almost like God telling us, like, you guys are doing amazing. Mm. And this is how I'm going to show you that, you know?
That's lit.
Yeah. That's so fire. And I think almost to a certain extent, it's the same with you guys,
yeah.
You know, because you guys are both committed, you know, and he's like, you guys are doing great,
yeah.
You know, but now here's your step to go even better, like be even greater, you know, because it only dove you right, like deeper into God. And the same thing happened with us, you know, it was like, we're only getting deeper with God as well. So, yeah, I mean, hey, I think that's pretty cool.
Go for it, Chris.
Okay, and I just want to say this. So, like, we're not condoning sex out of marriage at all, right? We're just saying that is something that it's a part of their stories, right? And that God was able to use it for good, right? It's still evil in the sight of God. You read the Word of God, you know it's evil, right? He doesn't want you to continue in that sin. If you have the opportunity, if you're living in that sin right now and you have the opportunity to get out of it, get out, right? Like, don't continue to live in that sin. That is not all, like, the mess. I know that people could misinterpret that. But, right, with all that being said, it's like, even with the things that we do, right, like, God's will always prevail, right? Like, the will of God is going. He's sovereign. He's got sovereign power, right? And so these things, we don't always understand them, like, at all. I never understand them, actually, ever. I pray about them, like, immensely. I've questioned so much, dude. And it's just like, something, I think I've said it before, is like, the CEO never tells the janitor what's going on. You know, janitor just be sweeping up the floor. You know, the CEO doesn't say, like, hey, we're cutting budgets in this area, and then go find the janitor and be like, hey, are you cool with that? You know, I'm the janitor in the situation, right? Like, no, like, God knows. He's seeing everything that's going on throughout the whole, you know, the whole world, and he's making decisions, and he doesn't need to come and consult Chris every time he decides that something's happens. And then even when it does happen, I don't always understand it, right?
Yeah.
But, like, get away from sin, right? Sin is evil. Run away from it. But you'll see that, like, even through, it's crazy. It's just, it's so, I feel like it's such a complex topic that you can't even go into that. But the topic really was just, God is good.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I don't know if I should even say this. Because I feel like I might be a little controversial. But I think one of the goodness of God is just his love in general, you know, and how much he just overall loves you and just overall wants to be right there every step of the way, and how much more powerful that is than any sin or darkness that you can go through or experience or maybe even, like, project onto other people.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the most, like, beautiful things ever, because, you know, we might feel a lot of conviction about things that, about mistakes we do, but I think that's why the message of forgiveness is so evident in not just the Bible, but in the message itself, because I feel like that's the part that we should focus on more rather than the sin part, because it's like, it's almost like making the darkness brighter than the light, you know, the more and more, like, we talk about sin. And I am not like here to argue with anything. It's just my perspective and how much I believe in the love of God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I understand completely. I understand what she's saying.
No,
you
that's
get it?
No.
You know what she's saying?
Actually, no. But explain. But I just want to say, because you said, like, oh, I don't want to argue. This is what I'll say about that. It's really not an argument. We don't always know, right, we don't know a lot of things, and sometimes, right, like, we need a back and forth. Like, confrontation is good.
Iron sharpens iron.
Yeah, that's it. And so it's like, don't feel like it's an argument. Feel like we're going closer to God. Mm. But I don't understand. So what do you, how did you interpret it? And then I want to see if that's what you meant.
I think she's just saying, you know, first of all, conviction is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Conviction is of God, and conviction pulls you closer to God, right? Because when you're doing wrong and you know it's wrong, God has put the Holy Spirit in you. That's how you even feel conviction, right? Because if you're doing wrong and you don't feel bad about it, that means you don't have the Holy Spirit, right? But when you start to get convicted about things that you're doing wrong, right, it should give you the motivation to say, okay, I don't like how I'm feeling right now. I don't think God likes how I'm feeling right now. So what can I do to then bring myself closer to God and to also please God, right? To get out of pleasing myself and start pleasing God. But then on the other side of that, there's the shame and guilt, right? And shame and guilt is a dangerous place because that's of the devil, right? And we did that's a whole, yeah, we did a whole episode. Yeah. We did a whole episode about don't shame and guilt. And so many people listen to it because I'm sure there's so many people that are caught in shame and guilt, right? And like Sabrina was saying, we're not here to be so focused on the sin, right? Because we're never going to fully conquer sin. No one ever will. We are all going to sin. I'm going to sin the minute I leave here. I might sin during this podcast. You know what I'm saying? But something that is way greater than the sin is his love, you know? And that's what we need to be so focused on is his love, right? And the more...
What is it?
His grace abounds. What do you say? A verse?
Yeah, his grace abounds. Oh, what is it, dude? His grace abounds where sin is... Grace abounds all the more.
Yeah.
It's Romans. Okay. Let me find it.
Find it. Yeah. Yeah, no, but exactly, right? So we're always going to sin, right? But God covers us with his grace, with his mercy. Where we're wrong, he is always right. And the goal is, you know, for us to recognize where we're wrong. You know what I'm saying? And then see.
Sorry.
Go for it. Whatever you got.
I just wanted to, like, maybe just... add on to what you're saying, because I mean you're completely right. It's what I think though is almost like a pivotal point in maybe the behavior of how we approach these things.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, when we have conviction, are we in fear
mm-hmm.
of God? Like, are we in fear that, oh my gosh, we're doing something wrong, he's gonna be mad at us?
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're in more shame and in more guilt.
Yeah.
And then that's where you're like, oh, I can't do this because I'm scared of something.
Yeah.
Or are you in out of love? You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, convicted out of love in a sense of like, oh man, I did this. I'm so sorry, God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I love you. I only want to show my love for you.
Yeah.
So then you start acting like yeah. you start doing better, mm-hmm. you know. But I think that is that very, like, you're key
on,
thing.
That scripture too. You're hitting on. You're, right there.
That's that key thing that it deciphers where your intentions are, because guilt and shame will just like, I think fester is the word. I don't mm-hmm. know, but it'll just come out of the fear of you sinning rather than the love of mm-hmm. you not sinning. Right, yeah. It's the love for God that's like gonna encourage you to not do it. Where fear is only gonna create another situation
mm.
where you're gonna sin again.
Yeah,
you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where real conviction comes, where it's like, oh man, doing this is so disrespectful, and you catch it before you even do it
mm-hmm.
because you have that true conviction out of love, not a conviction out of fear, because fear is only gonna multiply, and it's like a flesh-eating virus, you know?
Oh, yeah, no, 1,000%. So. But what you said, I love what you said. Like, you love him so much and you want to show him through your actions, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what love is. Love is an action. It's not just a word we throw around, you know what I'm saying? You have to show God you love him just like you show people you love him, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could tell your man, your husband, I love you, but if you're not showing him
right.
you love him, is he going to feel loved? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's the same with God.
Yeah.
We could sit here and say, I love you, God. Jesus is Lord all day. But if our actions don't represent that, you know, he sees our heart, and our words mm-hmm. don't mean as much as what our heart means. If our words are nonsense and our heart, you know what I'm saying, is really not in the right place, like, it doesn't mean anything to God, you know? So it's really, that's the important thing, is showing him we love him, you know?
Okay, so you did, she actually mentioned like two scriptural things there. I wish I knew the Bible better, dude, because I could just, like, open it up and just be like, bam, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not that great. But so it's Romans chapter 5. She was talking about, you know, I think, right, that you were just saying that, like, God's love, like, will outwin the sin, right? So the same thing is, like, the light in the darkness. Is kind of what you were saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was saying that.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm just going to read this scripture. So just so that we know, like, that's a true statement, word of God that's supported. It says, now the law came to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ. So it's saying that where your sin increases, the grace abounds, right? And then it'll go into, like, so do we just sin so that God's grace can be glorified? And it'll say, like, no, because that is a thought that certain people have. You don't go out of your way to sin then, right? Like, you're not like, oh, let me go find some hookers now so that God's grace can be abounded, you know? But it's just saying that, like, your sin abounds God's grace, right? So the evil in your life abounds God's grace.
And what does abound mean?
Abound means, like, makes it, it's bigger, it's greater, right? Like, okay. it's more, like, glorified. Like, you'll see, like, God's grace more, right, through sin. So, like, Paul, like, describes himself as, like, the most evil person who will ever live. It's literally how he just, because he was killing Christians, which is pretty savage. And who knows? I don't know if he's right, but he's saved still. So God's grace was able to abound through him because, right, through his evil, right, God still saved him.
Abound says exist in large numbers or amount. So basically just overpowers.
Yeah. And then you said something else you were talking about. Like, so, like, one thing that certain sects of Christianity like to do, right, is, like, they like to get people afraid of God, right? Because they're, like, you're gonna, like, they always talk about hell. You're gonna go to hell if, like, you don't do this, right? And actually, scripturally, what it says is that it's the love of God that'll make us change, right? It's, like, learning the love of God. The reason I'm very adamant, though, about the wrath of God and learning that is because then it makes me want to save somebody else, right? Like, I see the pain that... Because they're at the end of the day, right, like, if you're not saved, the only reason I can be saved is through Jesus Christ, right? Jesus Christ, his blood saved me. And if I don't have that, then all I have is, and it's the same sin that I have that person has. I'm no different from him in any shape or form. But because of Jesus Christ, I'm covered, and now I'm saved, right? And then this person doesn't have that. And so the wrath of God, the study of it, like, what it really does for me is then I love that person, right? Because I can understand their sin and their evil. And I don't want them to experience whatever comes with that. And I know the glory, that the love, right, that comes with Christ. And so it's not a thing of, like, ooh, I'm, like, afraid, right? Because I know I'm saved. I have that Holy Spirit. But it makes me look at a person who's maybe not saved, and I'm like, I don't want them to experience the pain and suffering they have, right? Because he's a just judge, right? And it's something that we talked about before, is people like to say, well, God couldn't be wrathful. How would a good God let sin continue, right? Like, he's going to come here and he's going to destroy all of the sin, right? So that when heaven comes, there's this beautiful eternity where there's no more sin anymore, right? And how could a loving God just be like, yeah, there's a lot of sin. I know it's deadly. I know it's ruining these people, but whatever. Like, let's just let him live with it. It's like, no, that doesn't make sense. You know, he's going to come. He's going to destroy all that evil. The only way, right, I'm, like, basically going to be disguised, right? Like, because if God just saw me without that blood, I'm not disguised anymore. I'm just this evil thing, and he's got to crush the sin, get the sin out. But because I'm covered in that blood, he's going to be like, oh, Jesus' blood. He's going to be like, oh, I can't. It's like, so, camouflage.
Okay, so I'm going to say something real quick. God knows all, right?
Yeah.
So it's not for his experience, it's for your experience. You know evil, you know fear, you know all the dark things in this world so that you can experience it. When you experience that, now you know love, because you know the opposite. You can't know love unless you know the opposite.
No, evil has, like, a good point, for sure.
I agree with what you're saying. I'm just explaining, because this is something I'm learning right now, is that, you know, there has to be evil in this world, unfortunately. And there has to be that evil so that we can experience that, and then we can experience love. like, these are polar things. So, like, you cannot have an absolute, like, you cannot have only love in this world, because you will not know what that love is if you don't know what it's not. So when I say that, it's basically, we need to think about our experience here on life and think about how we want to experience it on life here. Because when we came down here onto earth, it was through God's hand, right? He's like, hey, I have a purpose for you, and you're going to come here on this earth. This earth already has all the evils that it has. So what are you going to do in this life? You know, you have to experience that, and you have to go through your own hell and our own baggage that we've had in this life, so that we come to a point in our experience, in our lives, that's like, damn, like, this is not it. I'm depressed. I'm sad. I'm unhappy with this life. I need to know God. Like, you start learning about God and you say, I need to know God because he's love and I'm not this evil. You know, you're not this evil. So now you're able to turn the page and you're able to say, hey, I'm love. And I want to learn more about love. I want to learn more about God and who he is so that I can be in his image. We're here to experience the life as God did when he was Jesus. So Jesus comes in and forgives sin so that we can know love, so that we can know who he wants us to be and not who the earth makes us.
Right, but so wait, are you disagreeing with man is evil?
No, man is very evil.
Okay, then,
but
yeah.
Because so man is very evil, but it's God. When we learn about man is evil because there had to be fear, there had to be evil on earth.
Definitely.
Just so that
we
know God.
I see.
And then to know
now.
God
yeah,
is
yeah.
to know love.
Know that there's definitely a point to it all.
Yeah.
No, there's definitely a purpose. It's been a big thing too recently, actually, that I've been talking about, right? Because the main thing, right, people, it's pain, right? That's like the main mm-hmm. thing they come to you with. And then even pain in the faith, right? And they're like, what makes pain okay is when there's a greater purpose behind it. Like, there's a greater good, I think, sitting behind it. That's when you can say, like,
that's
I'm
your
in
intention.
Pain. Yeah, but it's like, yeah, right. You know, like,
unfortunately,
because if the pain was unnecessary for no reason, it'd be like, I don't know, it would just suck then. But it's like, God can be glorified through that. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
I think intention is very, very, very important, because even when you're trying to do right, if your intention stems from the deeper feeling of fear, then it won't be manifested in the correct way. Mm. So when maybe an example of like sex out of marriage, which I'm not contradicting the Bible or anything, but you know, we might have the fear of that and it's like, oh my gosh, I'm going against God. I've been spacing out today. But when you have that intent of like fear, then just in sin in general, when you have that intent of fear and it's like, oh my gosh, I'm sinning and I'm scared God's not going to accept me, you have to have that intent of love, like I mentioned earlier, you know. And it's more of, oh, I love God and I want to do better.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, I think I lost track of what I was trying to say, but
yeah.
It's okay, you can keep going.
No, I think it's perfect though, because we need both sides, right? You know,
you do,
like,
it's
clearly
inevitable.
Like, and that's the thing. That's the beauty of us coming together, right? Like, you're very focused. You love the wrath and you love all that crazy stuff, right?
Fear of God, yeah.
But Sabrina loves love, right?
Yeah.
And we need each piece to come together, you know, as the body of Christ, right? And when we come together in that way and we bring what we have to the table authentically, 100%, and we're vulnerable and we offer ourselves, you know, as a, you know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, I'm wrong, you're wrong, we're all wrong, but we're here together,
yeah.
Right? That's when the love comes out. Because if we were all here saying, you know, we don't struggle with that or we don't sin, there's no authenticity. You know what I mean? And that's the greatest way I've seen God's love move in the church and in the body of Christ, even me and Chris's relationship, because we bring the struggles that we have and the sins that we have to the table, and then we're able to walk through it together. You know what I'm saying? That's the most important thing. Forget the sin. Forget where we're messing up and all that. It's that we're together. We're united, you know, and that's what God wants us to be, is united as his people. You know, he doesn't want us to be casting shame or condemnation on nobody. He wants us to accept each other, to say, come as you are, just as he is, you know, just as the prodigal son we talked about last week. You know, he was covered in sin. He was filthy. He was gross, right? Same as me, Chris, Sabrina. We were all covered in sin and gross when we came to God. But his love washed that away, right? Jesus' love for us washed that away, you know? So we're not here trying to condemn nobody or tear nobody down, you know? We're saying that God is truly the source of love. And we know that because we do fear him, right? Fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. That's what it says in, Proverbs. Proverbs is where,
yep.
Go for it. And so the fear of God is important, you know, and fear as in a respect, you know, seeing that he is above us and seeing that it's his will being done, you know, and we love him through the fear.
Reverence.
That's fine. Yeah. But it's just so cool to see it all play out, you know what I mean? Because, yeah, we can't give sin all the power, right? We have to acknowledge where we're wrong and try to do better. But at the same time, if we're just so focused on all our sin, we're completely missing out on the miracle that God is, right? The goodness that he is, that he covers us in our sin. You know, he doesn't turn away from us in our sin. He reaches out for us. And even when we're in that pit, right? Like we read in that Psalm 103, you know, he pulls us out the pit. He grabs us. He forgives us. He washes us clean. And like Chris was saying in that Romans verse, it doesn't give us a reason to just dive in deeper into sin, right? It's not like he pulls us out the pit and we choose to dive back in, you know, just to kind of test if he is.
But you will sometimes.
But we do. Yeah, we do, right? Yeah, yeah. 1,000%. Me and Chris were just talking about that.
But it's not, we don't purposely. Yeah.
Yes, we do. Purposely.
But you're not like, I can't use, sex would be too crazy to use for this one. It'd be like, I use my phone. I can become idolatry to my phone, right? And then I know that, and then my flesh is pulling me towards it. But I'm not like, you know what I mean? You're not like, not struggling with it, and then you're just like, oh, I gotta go grab my phone and be idolatry so the grace can abound. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes the flesh wins out.
Yeah.
So you see what I'm saying about like,
the spirit is strong, but the flesh, or what is it? The flesh is strong, but the spirit is willing.
The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing.
Yeah.
You got some weak flesh, dog.
Weak flesh, dude. We're just fleshed out over here, dude.
No, but you did say something good too, though, about. All right, actually,
keep going. Go ahead.
He said something good about how we need it all. So like Francis Chan, like when you listen to him, he's like obsessed with the wrath of God, and he says it's because of his upbringing, right? He was abused as a child, and he says, like, he listens to a lot of people, and they become so, like, a lot of American cultures become obsessed with the love of God, the grace of God, and all of those qualities are 100% true, right? And so he feels like he has this need to always talk about the wrath of God, but that it can come to the point where it becomes blasphemy, right? Because you're only focused on this one part. And the same happens for the other side, where you're only focused on the grace and love, and it can almost become blasphemy, where you don't even talk about these other parts, right? And so it's like we need the full encompassing who is God truly, right? Like in all of his qualities, right? And so it's like how he's saying, like, it's good that we got three of us. We're not teachers. We're not preachers. You know, if you ever read this book and you're like, they said this, but the Bible said this, follow the Bible. Like, yeah. We're just really sharing our own experiences in life. And really the main idea of this podcast is just that people can relate, really, is all it is. We're not here to teach you guys something or anything like that. It's just so you can be like, oh, I'm not alone in this, right? But it's like we end up kind of teaching just from talking about our stories and stuff, right? Like that happens.
I was just going to say we teach each other.
Yeah. You know? Well, I just don't want to be a teacher because we're judged way more harshly, like in the Bible. Yeah. Yeah. So I always say that so that you guys are like, oh, they're just basers. I'd be dodging the wrath, bro. Hey. I say, ooh. Yeah.
So I see we're kind of getting
this is too good, just a little more. Yeah,
but no, I mean, I was gonna say my last part for the most part, which was I think it follows good with what you're saying, you know, about teaching, because we're not so much teaching, we're more testifying. We're more testifying from our own experience. And I think experience is the biggest teacher of who God is. And that basically just comes to say, I think the best thing to do, or the best thing I could say when it's like, hey, what is the love of, what, it, explain the goodness of God, my answer would just be, come and see. Because, to be honest, we can sit here and we can talk about our own experiences, or we could sit and list all the goodness of God, but it's only going to mean so much to you if you haven't experienced the same thing. So, I like this part of the Bible. It's John
is so far, dude.
Yeah, the beginning of John, and it's basically when John's disciples meet Jesus, and you know, I don't think I'm gonna read it word for word, but basically John the Baptist is like, look, there's the Lamb of God. And then 37 it says, when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turned around, Jesus saw them and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? And Jesus said, come. It says, come, he replied, and you will see. And it says, so they went and saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. So basically, from that moment forward, they ended up following Jesus. They became disciples of Jesus rather than John the Baptist. So a disciple is basically another word for an apprentice, or just somebody who follows a master or a teacher. So from that moment on, you know, God said, hey, come and see. You know, it wasn't like, hey, let me teach you something, you know, but it was just come experience this. He even just asked a simple thing. Where are you staying? And it wasn't like, oh, I'm down the street over here. You know, it was like, no, come and see, like, come walk my life and experience where I'm staying, you know, and not just staying, it's the rest of it, everything he wishes to teach them. So it's follow me, walk life with me, so that you can learn the goodness of what I am and why you should follow or be with God, you know. So I think that's a huge thing to not just say, but to insist, you know. Like, we can sit here and talk all day about the goodness of God, but if you don't go and experience it for yourself, you won't know the goodness of him with enough conviction to be able to sit here and share it with others. Mm-hmm. And sit here and truly know the goodness, because it's not from your own experience. And that goes just, I guess, back to what I was saying too earlier, which is like, We all need to learn from our own experiences, not just from what we're heard, what we're told, because that's the only way we're truly gonna be convicted and truly gonna know the greatness of God, and also who God is himself, you know. That's what makes this podcast so powerful. We sit here and we testify all day and tell our own experience and our own, you know, stories of how God works in our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. I think too is like, we ended up talking about a bunch of different stuff. Mm-hmm. We might. I don't know. I might need. I want to keep the title actually, because yeah, it's still.
We kept coming back to it.
It's hard to actually find titles, to be honest with you, if we don't have one already picked out. But it was like, that was one thing. Was just like, back to the Spider-John. Yeah, Spider-John. Back to him, he said, like, the thing that always helped his depression was just staring at the cross. Mm. Like, he would just stare, continue to just stare at God, stare at God, stare at God. So he's like, you know, you read that about following him, you know, and it's the same idea as just, like, and how you're even talking about, you know, if I focus really any of my attention into my sin, then it's not, like, I can't work harder at not sinning, right? Like, what I can do is I can grow in my faith. There's like a whole series that John Piper does actually, where he talks about the sin that you deal with isn't an issue of working harder, it's an issue of faith. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you don't truly know, I don't even know how to explain it, honestly. You'd have to listen to John Piper because he's like a doctor or something.
Well, actually, that's yeah. I think that actually goes on to something I was about to say, which is a really awesome point my man pointed out to me. And it's, you can't see the goodness of God without having, dang, I have the notes on my phone, but it was pretty much, you can't see the goodness of God without having faith eyes or eyes of faith.
Yeah.
So you have to have faith in, you have to have faith and look through eyes of faith to see the goodness of God, because if not, you're skeptical.
Yeah, that's fire. So, that's tough.
So yeah, like when he told me, like it was in the middle of church, and yeah. I was like, hey, that's like in my head.
And then you hear nothing like, the rest of the church. Yeah, you just think about that. Yeah, I do that. No, I do the same thing.
So you know, at first he used to get mad at me because I would like ignore him in church because I really want to like listen to what I'm trying to say, you know. But the point is that like what he said was actually really fire, and we talked about it again after, because you know where people are always going to be sitting here and skeptical and hey, this says that, but this and that, and they have their own experience and whatever. But the point is, you know, to have faith, you have to have faith. Like it almost doesn't make sense, but it does. Like you can't have faith without having faith. If not, like you're only going to be skeptical. You can't see evidence of faith without having faith. You have to believe, hey,
you get faith by having faith that the faith is going to happen.
You know, and if that's, you don't have faith,
that's going to be confusing.
That's a whole topic in itself. That's something I think I wanted to talk about.
That's real, though.
Because it is.
Oh, man, that's a busy. That's busy.
Yeah, but, you know, like, let me just stop.
No, that was good. And that's literally what it is because I get the point that you were making was just that, you know, that's the issue that we fall into. It's like there is a work side, right? Like James says, faith without works is dead. And he goes in to say that, like, the only way that I can know that Wally has faith is by his works, because I can't see his heart, right?
Yeah.
So your works play a part in it. But how do you do the good works? It's through faith, right? Like when I have faith in Christ Jesus, my works just accompany that, right? Like they're one and the same, you know? And so it's like for struggling with sin. But then it's like, well, how do I get better faith? And it's like, you can read scripture, right? Like it says in the Bible that the word of God can literally change your heart, you know? So reading scripture is one way. People, right? Like getting a fellowship, getting people among you, right? Like people who can, we can encourage
friends,
each other.
We can sit here and talk about different points of views.
Yeah. We can encourage each other. We can learn more through each other, right? So you want people around you. You want to pray, obviously. You want to be talking to God, right? Like all these different things can help us grow in our faith. And then through the faith, right? It's crazy, right? Because it's like when you start out, it's like you're doing all this evil and it's like whatever. And then suddenly, like just through continuing the relationship, you become a better person, right? Like you just...
I have a question.
Yeah.
With your struggle with sin, do you have faith that you will end? Like you will end your sin? Or do you just struggle with it?
See, that's a good question. I'm going to be completely honest with that.
Because not having faith that you're going to, because that's what that fear does. That fear just keeps you in that cloud.
It's the enemy, and it's the enemy. Yeah, and it's
that's where like the faith, which is also love, because, you know, you have to have faith to see God's love.
Absolutely.
To see his goodness. So you have to have faith like, hey, this is not going to be an issue anymore. And if I do it, it's okay because it's the last bit, you know, I'm working through this and I'm working out of it. So you have faith that you're getting out of this.
That it
cycle.
Can end. Yeah.
Yeah, that it can end. That, if not, you're just like, fuck again.
Yeah.
Again.
And that's, know? But that's real because I have struggled, especially recently, because I've talked about it on here actually enough, but I do struggle with sexual sin. And so it's like continuing to fall back into it. Hopelessness, you know what I mean? Like when you come into recovery, the hopelessness is because you've fallen so many times, and so many times you felt confident that it wasn't going to happen again. Yeah. And then when you get there at the very end, it's like, I have no idea if this is going to work. And then somehow, I don't know how, but it does. You know, if God, that's how I know how. God takes it from me. But I'm in that spot right now with specifically sexual sin is like, because I keep trying different things and different routes, and it's like, it keeps
shortcuts.
Popping up. Yeah, shortcuts. Even though, but even like, reading scripture or something, right? Like, I even try to dive in the Word, try to memorize a verse about sexual sin to, like, put it on my mind, or, like, try to avoid it, try a bunch of stuff, right? And then it's, like, I get to a point, though, where it's, like, God, will you ever take this from me? So it's, like, it's true. It. Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely...
No, I'm sorry.
Bro, but St. Augustine?
I'm not trying to beat you up or anything. I'm just...
No, I mean, it's good. It's good for... You know? Again, like, we're not teachers. Dodge. But it's good for if people can relate. It's, like, it's real life. It's human. And, you know, but that's where, like, you guys have been helping me. You know, I just met you, but you actually helped me, like, 2 weeks ago with something when you said, do you trust that God's faithful in you? It's stuck with me. But Wise really been helping me too with, he'd been saying it for a while, is like, it's not up to you, right? Because I get it in my brain that it's like it's going
to
be.
Yeah, it's like you're trying to control it. Yeah. And I mean, it's that same thing of, you know, what is it? Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change.
Courage to change the things I can. Exactly. And the wisdom to know the difference.
Right, you know, so you're just, you're trying to control how much you sin or all these other things, you know, and it's not up to you. It's up to God, and just know the wisdom to not do it or to think differently.
But we always pray for y'all, so y'all got to pray for me.
I hope you were in that 25-minute prayer somewhere.
I was, yeah. Bro,
you was like 24 was minutes of it? No.
Yeah. Dude, I was in that thing. Help me. Yeah. But it's, like, it's real. I'm glad we had this conversation, actually, because I think it shows, it's, like, people look at us because we have a podcast, and they're, like, oh, it's, like, and I look at other preachers, and I'm, like, they don't got no problems. You know what I'm saying? That's bro, it's, good. It's, I had a talk with Nisu on Friday for, like, an hour, dog. Nisu, fire name. He's a cool guy. Nisu, you're a cool guy, bro. Shout out Nisu. But I don't know that he realized how much, I, like, called Wally after. I was, like, bro, like, because I get exhausted with the war, right? It says in the Bible, we have a battle, right? Good and evil, right? And that's, I was exhausted, dude. And it was just like, he sat there and talked to me for like an hour. And I felt like a weight was off my shoulders. Like, I just handed somebody all of my problems, dude. I was so grateful at the end of that night, you know, because, you know, dude, it's a hard battle. And we're fighting the same battle that everyone listening is fighting, right? Mm-hmm. But the glory, the goodness of God, right? What we're here to talk about, it just keeps becoming more and more appealing, right? Like, it becomes better and better and better, you know? I'm grateful Sabrina came on, too. It's actually nice because, dude, we bring people on here, we all agree. So it's, like, good that we can kind of get... I don't think we disagreed really about anything, actually. But I think that... I don't know. I think we got a little bit deeper into some different things than we usually would. You know what I mean?
Got spicy.
Yeah, like, different perspectives what we had. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it... Yeah. But you need that. It's more entertaining to listen to, I feel like, too. Yeah. But we're really running it up now.
Yeah, we're going to wrap it up now. Sabrina will be back, though, and we'll continue, you know, to seek God as brothers and sisters in Christ. And, you know, where one of us is wrong, it's our duty to call it out and not throw shade or shame on them, but love. And I think that was a perfect example of this right here, right now, you know?
I mean, everyone's experience is different. Yeah. So whatever works best for you, do that.
Yeah. But
we're not meant to live the same life. We're all meant to have our own journey, you know?
Yeah. But just like Sabrina was saying, you know, if you're just listening to this, it doesn't mean anything, you know? Come and see what God is really all about. And that took me straight to James 1, and it's 22-25, and it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." You know, and that's really all we want for y'all. We want you to be blessed in your daily lives. We want you to be blessed after this life. We want to see you in heaven, you know. So get into the word, you know. Start praying. Find a community of people that will just like this, you know, will sharpen each other, you know. Sabrina has a great church out there in Lakeland. If you're in that area or if you're in Tampa, we got churches. Chris got one out there and wherever he's at. but even if you don't know, if you're in a different place, hit us up. We'll do our best to research and find a good fellowship for you to join of people that truly love God. Yeah, hit us up. Hit us up. 79 Cent Salvation on IG. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was beautiful. God loves you. We love you. We're so glad you listened. That's a wrap.
What are we praying?
Too late.